due to some violent content. Parental discretion is advised.
Oh! See? I just can't stand!
Yeet!
It's about time you did something, right?
Who in the hell do you think you are?
You ain't Godzilla or King Kong, because I'm both!
Hey, go fuck yourself. Get that guy out of here.
Acknowledge me!
Yeah!
I admit it. I'm an asshole.
Damn!
You are dealing with the best in the world! Go fuck yourself!
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening and welcome to another installment of the North American Wrestling Connection. My name is Nikki Heyman. Tonight the table's a little sparse, but it is a little stormy on this side of the planet, so I'll start with my co-host just a little bit north of me, Stat Boy Josh Henniger. Good evening.
Yeah, I missed all the storms, but then again, I kind of got lucky considering I've driven 300 miles today.
It was worth it.
Yes, it was worth it.
So, but someone's a little more than 300 miles away from either one of us, our correspondent on the other side of the planet, Bad News Beeman. Good afternoon, sir.
Yes, good afternoon, and it is winter here and freezing, so yay.
Yeah.
Oh, send me some of that.
I mean,
send me some of that. It's 90 degrees and 80% humidity. It sucks.
Give us a few days, Nikki. It'll cool down back to the 70s at some point next week.
Oh, I hope so. Because yeah. I walk outside and I'm wondering, what state am I in again?
A state of perpetual confusion.
Well, that too. So, it's been a busy week in wrestling, and actually, today was a very busy day in wrestling.
Yes.
So, do you want to just deal with today, since we're, you know...
Should we start with yesterday, then, with the ROH Super Card of Honor?
You'll have to take the lead on this one. I don't...
I didn't follow it either, me be honest. The only thing that really happened pretty much every champion retained. Yay! Oh, and
a 12-year-old got the loudest pop out of all of them.
That was tonight.
No, it wasn't.
Oh.
It was the he.
Oh no, no,
Brody,
he's
Brody,
not
Brody, Lee, Brody Lee Jr. Oh, is he 13? Sorry,
he's 13.
Yeah. -1 lives. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, -1 returned and got a huge pop.
Yeah. Massive pop. And also, just a note, Mina Shirakawa has won the interim ROH Women's World Television Championship. Currently held otherwise by Red Velvet, but Red Velvet has been out with injury for a little while.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I haven't been keeping up to date with Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
I caught that on TikTok with -1, and I was like, Jesus.
Yes.
I'm like, that's what you get for broadcasting that stuff. You still, yeah.
I know that, but that's the brilliant thing about it, though, because -1's mainly known from AEW, and the fact that he got such a huge pop with ROH fans, like, it's like, people watching.
Yeah.
And hopefully that just means that the tribalism is starting to die. Anyway.
Yes.
Don't get me started on tribalism, because tonight was a perfect example of tribalism, because friggin' everyone was bitching and moaning about, ooh, which one do I watch? Do I watch All In, or do I watch Saturday Night Main Event?
Here's an answer for you. ¿Por qué no los dos?
Yeah, exactly. It's like the old Tucker.
I got 50 good reasons why I didn't watch All In.
Yeah. Yeah, you didn't have the money to do so.
That is correct. I'm on a slightly tighter budget now that I am off the road.
Yeah.
As it were. Yeah. But yeah, you know, I saw a couple things for it. I was killing some time before Great American Bash and was watching some Leverage on Prime. And a thing came up for the AEW event, and they said, it's only $50. Mm-hmm. And I said, I stopped paying $50 for pay-per-views better than 50 months ago. No. Yeah. So, no offense, Mox, and hopefully you now can take a freaking vacation or tear up your contract. Tear up your contract.
We'll find out soon enough, but... Let's see now. Let's go ahead and talk quickly about the pre-show matches.
Yes.
Were you able to see those? Because I was on the road when all those happened.
No. I killed my time between GIB and main event with another round of Leverage.
Ah, okay. So, Sons of Texas, that would be Dustin Rhodes, the Von Erichs, and Sammy Guevara. Beat Shane Taylor Promotions, which is Shane Taylor, the Infant, and the Infantry of Lee Moriarty, Colerity Bravo, and Captain Sean Dean. The second match, Big Boom AJ and the Conglomeration beat the Don Callis family. And also a bit of a, oh wow, either Rocky Romero's really short or Big Justice is already really tall.
Because, how tall is he?
He's all Big Justice. Note, a 12-year-old is about 2 inches taller than Rocky Romero.
Whoa.
I guess that's why they call him Big Justice.
Yeah. He's already very tall. And then FTR beats the Outrunners. Not a real surprise there, because the Outrunners are always going to be treated like jokes when it comes to the big stuff, unfortunately.
Mm.
And then, should we go ahead and talk about the first big news story that broke?
Yes, absolutely. It was an upsetting one, too.
Yes, we had Adam Cole come out in street clothes saying pretty much he's unable to perform and it might be retirement level. He doesn't know.
Well, he had a bunch of on and off trouble with his ankles, right?
Yes, ever since jumping off of that elevated stage at Grand Slam a few years ago, he's had problems with it. But the thing is, it didn't seem like he had problems, but don't know.
We don't know what specifically it is.
No, because he did not state that it was an injury. So people are speculating because this has been going on for months now. Everyone has been saying that Adam Cole has looked sickly.
Oh,
he's looked sickly, like that he's not. He's not as big as he was in NXT, and I have to agree with it. Every week I see him, he looks like he's getting smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like I don't know what it is. I'm not going to speculate anything. If it's something that's retirement situation, like he could. He might be nourishment deficient or whatever the case may be, but
this is one of those rare situations where you need to pay attention to his Twitch. Twitch.tv/thechugs. The reason why? He's on there. It's as simple as that. And if he says anything, I have a feeling it might be on there.
Okay.
Yeah. So keep your ears out for that, and Let's hope he can come back to the ring at some point or another.
Right.
And then we get on to the matches. The Ops beat the lesser Death Riders to retain the Trios Championship.
Yes, but then Samoa Joe got taken out after the match.
Yep.
Obviously, to set up his Twisted Metal Season 2 tour.
Ah, okay. Okay. So possibility of Hook coming back then, because I know Hook, last I heard, may or may not still be hurting, but I know he's dealing with some vapid reality show right now.
Poor guy.
Yeah. In one of the rare situations on this card, MJF wins. Lol. By beating Roderick Strong, to he will now have a future AEW World Championship match.
I actually thought this was brilliantly done from AEW, because we talk about the fact that AEW doesn't do long-term storytelling. This is long-term storytelling, especially considering what happened in the main event.
Yes, absolutely. But we'll see that crop up and then say on Wednesday. And of course, that vacant AEW TNT Championship, which was held by Adam Cole, was essentially fought over by Daniel Garcia, Kyle Fletcher, Sammy Guevara, and Dustin Rhodes. Dustin wins.
Dustin pulls double duty and gets the dub.
Yeah. Which means he just got another big old... He got another title, but it is going to be an eventual setup for a certain Kyle Fletcher to come back in and take it from him.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's Dustin's first singles championship in AEW. That's why he got so emotional about it.
Yes.
So, congrats to him. Like, if it... Like, I think it was a right call for, like, emotional standpoint, like, for Dustin, and Dustin's busted his ass off for that company.
Yeah.
For a while now. But yeah, I just feel you should have pulled the trigger with a new star with and kept boosting Kyle's momentum. But I agree with you, Josh, that they're going to set up Dustin versus Kyle, and Kyle will take it off him.
Yeah.
So I think Dustin, sadly enough, is just a traditional champion at this point.
Yes. And let's see. Next up, tag match with Swerve and Ospreay facing off against the Young Bucks. I seen a few of the highlights. Holy crap, it's insane. But the right team won.
Thank God.
Which means not the Bucks.
Yeah.
Yes,
which means
Bucks,
not the Bucks
lose.
Low Bucks lose, and storyline-wise, are no longer EVPs.
Correct,
so,
which
hooray.
Is great news, which means a lot of fines are about to be rescinded. And I'm okay with that.
I like the match, and yes, this was a top-quality match. My only thing is, and like I said, this is not a dig with how AEW does matches. It's just myself as a wrestling fan, I like matches that tell a story, but when you're doing so many of these high impact moves that are supposed to do a shit ton of damage, and these guys are no selling them, then I'm like, well, it sort of takes away from the match for me. Like you saw so many super kicks, and then like, both Matt and Nick do flip pile drivers to these two men, and they stay standing, and then do both of their finishes on Matt and Nick, and then everyone's just laid out on the floor. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Mm-hmm.
But that's my only nitpick with that match.
Yeah. Fair enough. Women's Casino Gauntlet match. Athena wins.
Yay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm a fan of Athena.
Yes.
Please don't get me wrong. I'm a fan of Athena. But I honestly feel wrong person won this match.
Who should have won it then?
I honestly believe with her current momentum that she's doing, like to continue the story with her heel run, Chris Statlander. I think Chris should have won it.
That would have been
because
interesting.
Heel Chris Statlander versus face Tony Storm at the next pay-per-view, people would put their butts in seats because Tony can sell the match easily because we've seen it in her passing where she talked about Chris going, Chris Statlander, what a woman. Like, yes. And now she...
Also, just a note, we did finally get the debut of Siuri in this match.
I have to refresh my memory on who that is.
Siuri Kondo, aka Siuri, is a wrestler, shoot boxer, kickboxer, and MMA artist. And she has been in Stardom for ages.
Oh, okay, so she's a debutante from Stardom. All right, cool.
Yep, Stardom and New Japan. Also fought in Pancrase and UFC.
Wow.
Yeah. So she's at least somewhat legitimate.
Considering the fact she's a kickboxer and an MMA fighter, I would assume she's a legit. Like,
yeah.
Damn.
And a really good kickboxer too. Career ended at 13-1.
Nice.
Her MMA record's a little worse, 6-3.
Still, I can't state her dating preferences.
Yeah.
But if you're anyone who's dating her, I don't think you're going to be like, yeah, I'm going to mistreat you. It's like, nah, I'm good.
Yeah. Nah. Yeah. Nah.
Yeah.
I'll wash the dishes.
Yeah. Let's see now. The three-way tag match for the AEW World Tag Team Championship. The Hurt Syndicate defended against Jet Speed and the Patriarchy. And after the match, FTR shows up in the ring and is looking to essentially, you know, do things and stuff with the Patriarchy. Nick Wayne turns on Christian Cage, gives him the unprettier.
Hooray.
All four, Kip, Nick, and FTR all gain up on Christian and get ready to concerto his ass when... You think you know me. You think you know me. You think you know me. You think you know me.
Okay. Now, hang on. Just one second with this. And I don't think a bully listens to this podcast, but if
no.
he does, in a rare chance, I would please reiterate on your show, bully, please put the same effort that you gave Penta shit for into Cope, because Cope's here chanting to the fans, going, "Yeah, let's go, come on, yeah," and Christian's about to get his head caved in.
Yeah,
it's like, and so I hope, bully, that you put the same preference and level of crap on Cope that you did on Penta for doing the same thing of doing his dance out to the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying,
yeah,
Penta should do his dance out to the ring. It's ceremony. Oh, hi.
Yeah. All right, and then what? For the AEW Women's World Championship, Mercedes Hogan, not today. Tony Storm retains.
Hooray!
Look, I'll give the same Mercedes main shit by saying she's got too many titles, but I will never take away from her wrestling ability and what she can do in a ring. Her and Tony put on a hell of a match, and the ending was cinema.
Yes.
Tony giving her the kiss of death before she gives her the super pile driver or
the
super
storm
zero,
storm,
sorry.
Yes.
Yes. Super Storm Zero and gets the 1-2-3. Brilliant match. I really look forward to seeing if they're going to run it back, or if we're going straight into Athena and Tony.
Mm-hmm. And then a match where I think Nikki might not necessarily agree. Okada beats Omega to unify the Continental International Championship to the AEW Unified Championship.
Yes and no. For the sake of the company, I would have liked to see Omega do that. But if Omega cannot wrestle on a normal, on a consistent, regular schedule, this was the better call.
Yeah, and yep. Considering agreed. Omega is still suffering from diverticulitis, or not suffering from, but the after effects of diverticulitis.
Correct.
I don't know if he'll ever be back to fully
function. And that's kind of, yeah, that's what I mean. I'm kind of... That's how I look at it. I don't, you know, sometimes it sounds like I hate Kenny Omega. That's not the case. I hate Omega and the Young Bucks when they're being asshole EVPs. Yeah. Because Omega is amazing to watch. I'm blessed that I got to see him work in Ring of Honor before he went overseas. And lost track of him for a few years. And then when he showed up just a little bit before AEW, I was like, what the hell happened to him?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. And then obviously Omega came back, said why he's been out for so long, that he's been dealing with diverticulitis, and that he was very close to having a bag.
And very close to death, too, at one point.
Yeah. So I'm glad that he's recovering, and I hope he takes the time to, like, let his body recover. But, yeah, I think this was the right call with Okada. Like, Okada, for me, hasn't been doing much since he came into AEW. He's just been in the background. So I think this is going to help push him to the limelight in the front.
Okay.
Yeah.
And these boys, and they didn't disappoint. It's Okada and Omega. Of course they didn't disappoint.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And yes, it's time that Okada stopped just standing around looking bored.
Yeah, and throwing out a bitch every now and then.
Yeah.
So, are we at the main yet?
Yes, we are at the main event. The Texas Death Match for the AEW World Championship. What a clusterfuck.
Yes, I heard it was an absolute uber schmoz.
Yeah. Everybody you expect to come out came out. Everybody.
This was the definition of everybody gets a paycheck battle royal. Like, goddamn.
Unfortunately, I love that shit, but go on.
Yes. Because not only did we have the entirety of the Death Riders, save for Pac, obviously,
right,
show up, but we also had two guys on the other side show up for the first time in ages. One, Darby's back.
Freaking time.
Yep, he rappelled down from the rafters. Very far. Very, very far. And ultimately, yeah, winds up doing the coffin drop onto the Death Riders, not named Moxley. But right before that, somebody showed up in the company for the first time since he was forcibly retired. Bryan Danielson shows up and kicks both Wheeler Claudio and I think even Gabe Kidd's ass too.
He started kicking some fucking heads in.
Yeah, he basically came in, kneeled Yuta's head off. You get, he was like the Oprah Winfrey of knees. You get a knee. You get a knee. Everybody gets a knee.
Yes.
Busaku, 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 busaku. Yeah.
Yeah.
Busaku to me.
Saka to me.
Although although ironically, he did come back in a Japanese style mask with a with like a
blue
like
panther
a lucha
mask.
Style mask.
Actually.
There you go.
So that's a
and everyone was like,
yeah, that's the old luchador that Danielson actually saved kind of recently down in Mexico.
Not yeah, the irony, he... he showed up in AAA before he showed up in AEW. So yep. It's like...
Probably just to make sure he could actually still go without being on camera as much. And he could, so he did. And so ultimately... After one choke out of a chain later, we have a new champ. Hangman Adam Page is your current AEW World Heavyweight Championship, and the belt is back.
Hooray!
No more briefcase.
Yeah, and if Mox is out there or hearing this, you're a fucking coward. You were not the belt. You were never the belt. The belt makes the man. The man does not make the belt, necessarily. It can
depends on who the man is.
Yeah, it depends on who the man is. Mox, you weren't the man.
And dude, get all of your fucking vacation in.
Yes.
Please.
Go rest. Please, for the love of all that is good and holy, rest.
Get your rest, play with your kid, kiss your wife. Whatever else you do with your wife, I don't want to know about.
Arr!
What?
That sounds like he sent me a weird... Deeds, but...
Trust me, it is dirty deeds. It was something about do it in the kitchen, do it in the hall, do it in the bathroom, and pin him into the wall. It's like, God damn it, Mox. Don't send me this. Don't tell me this shit.
Dirty deeds. Done with sheep. Wait a minute.
No.
Yes. Okay, no.
Mox is a fiend, but he's... No. I've heard some stories. Some of them might be true. I know the bear suit is.
Yeah. What about the dragon suit?
I haven't heard about that one.
No, no. Is there any smoke in there with dragon?
I can't tell that story. I signed an NDA on that one.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, trust me. I wish I could tell this story. I cannot tell that story because, wow. So, yes. Mox is finally going to get his freaking vacation that he's been trying to get for, what, 3 years now?
Hopefully.
I'm going to wait till Wednesday before I hear that verdict.
Yeah.
Like I said, go home. Go ahead.
I'll just say, if we don't see him on Wednesday, then we know he's taking a good vacation. If Renee's not there, we definitely know he's taking a vacation.
Yeah.
Oof. And that vacation will not be televised.
Kinky.
But, well, like I said, go home, play with his kid, kiss his wife, tear up his contract. You didn't hear that.
What? What'd you say?
My tinfoil hat started buzzing again. Don't mind me.
Lovely.
So.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, your tinfoil hat might have been correct, but may also that. Maybe in jeopardy, but we'll get to that in a bit.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Because we now go over to Saturday night's main event. Or no, NXT, NXT
yes.
first. NXT first.
Yeah, let's do the GAB first, because this wasn't a bad show.
It was just a badly timed one. Or was it just, you know, the sheer pettiness, because TKO is petty?
They get it from the previous owner.
True, very true. Because
you
we
gotta
had...
have some competition every now and then.
Yeah. Because we had Javon Evans beating the LFG champ, our winner, Jasper Troy.
And Jasper Troy's got some Jacob Fatu intimidation vibe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to where his career goes.
Yeah. But for now, he's still on the low end of the totem pole, so things will happen.
Yes. One thing in it, baby steps.
I don't know about that, because straight up, like, well, I think, I can't remember if this was after his match. What's his freaking name? Page and Saints match, was that before or after Troy and Javon?
It was after.
After, and this is it was after, and this is why I come up with why I mentioned this vibe, because during this False Count Anywhere match, they were bouncing around backstage, and somebody runs into Jasper Troy. Now, I might not have been paying 100% attention, but I honestly thought that was Jacob Fatu for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but no, he definitely gave off that presence. But yeah, that was Ricky Saints that bumped into him, and then he copped a black hole slam for his troubles.
Hmm.
So we know what Troy's next opponent's going to be.
Yeah, Chris Park.
Yeah.
Nobody?
That man
Nobody?
Has said he's retired. No, that man
Sorry,
has said
man.
He's retired. Okay.
Sorry, I was just being trying to be a funny little bit.
Nope. I apologize for... Go ahead.
No, I 100% agree with you, man. I would love to see that match. I would love to see Abyss on a WWE TV just one time.
Yeah, but
if it has to be a battle, if it has to be a battle of the Black Hole Slams, I'm all for it.
Yeah, but I'm. Yeah, we both know he's done. He is done. Done. So
after
speaking... that, oh, go ahead.
Hang on. I was going to say, we've all heard that before, though.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, I was going to interrupt with something that we might actually get to.
Mm-hmm.
So, I believe it was Stax was talking about what he was planning on doing after he finished his business with Tony.
Mm-hmm.
And that he was going to start doing an open challenge with the Heritage Cup. And did you see that list?
No, I did not, because it was not. I was not able to watch it.
Okay,
no, I did.
The
it
list
was the
most
ridiculous list I've seen.
Thank you. And one of the people on the list, he actually wrote A-Train.
Oh.
And so he goes around the corner into the performance center, and Matt Bloom is watching, you know, watching the people in the ring, and says, you know, you challenged me on the internet. And he's like, on the internet? Then you know it wasn't me. Stax comes back around and the Heritage Cup is gone.
Huh.
Because somebody's got some sticky fingers. And that poor cup ended up in the bay.
Yep.
Oh dear.
I'm surprised they didn't fill the cup of it with cement.
I see what you're doing there.
Yep. Tony D'Angelo holds grudges. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. D'Angelo does hold grudges, but damn you, Nikki, now you've got me having thoughts now, just Stax being in the ring one time going, D'Angelo, get out here. And we either hear the train siren go, or we hear the Japanese words, "Oh, it's over." I was like, "Hey!" It's like, "Oh, Jesus, Tensai's coming out. We're in trouble."
Mm-hmm. We'd all watch it.
Yeah.
You know, we would all watch this.
Yes. And, yeah. Continuing on with the Great American Bash, Sol Ruka
yes.
retains her title over Izzy Dane.
Match was fun, though.
Okay.
Oh, it was definitely fun, and seeing Zarya spear the hell out of Tatum was it was dear. But I'm just I have a bad feeling that the lovely friendship of Sol Ruka and Zarya is coming up end of that friendship is coming up very soon. I wouldn't be surprised even if it was tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Potentially, yeah.
Then for the North American Championship, Ethan Page beat Ricky Saints, with some outside help, of course, with Jasper Troy showing back up again.
I was waiting for another Tony Fumble chant. I am disappointed, NXT fans.
Yeah.
It's all right.
I don't think the fans have to. Unlike AEW, where they have to acknowledge the competition every week, I don't think NXT fans have to do that, because it's clear as day when you see it on the screen that somebody dropped the ball.
Oh, I know, but I just wanted to hear it again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Understood.
I don't need to hear it, but it's nice to have a reminder every now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't have to hear it every show. I just want to hear it. I just want to hear it today.
Mm-hmm. Let's see then. Joe Hendry and Mike Santana wind up are able to silence Trick Williams, and then Dark Data merge to take control afterwards.
Dark yeah. State is retribution back in town? Because that's
pretty much. Pretty much.
Well, Mustafa Ali needs to tell them to cut that out, and the Shield boys need to go get their masks back.
Yeah.
But that's just Mustafa. Me.
Yeah.
Mustafa Ali's too busy killing it in TNA with Cedric Alexander.
Yes. Yes, they are. And then the NXT title match. Obafemi beats Yoshiki Inamura.
And unfortunately, Josh Briggs wasn't much help.
Mm-hmm.
Or he helped, helping, not helping. And then...
He helped, and Ishimura was going to actually... looked like he was going to win the title if it wasn't for Josh getting too overzealous and showing that he had the title in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
We might have had a new NXT champion, but he got overzealous. Ishimura's like, "Did you hit him with the belt? I don't want to win this cheating." It's like, yeah. Oh dear.
And then the main event.
Damn you, Briggs.
Yeah. The main event, Jordynne Grace and Blake Monroe beat Fatal Influence, leading towards tomorrow night. Because after all, Jordynne will be facing off against JC Jane at Evolution.
And I hope she... No, I can't do that. It's a pick'em's night.
Yep. And of course, Masha Slamovic, current TNA Women's Champion, showed up to try to knock around Blake Monroe, and it didn't work out for her.
Mm.
Was she going after her, or was she going after Killer Kelly?
I don't know. This is what happens to it. Once again, I'm not able to watch this.
I couldn't tell either, Shane. I couldn't tell either, Shane, so don't feel bad.
Yeah.
Well, it's alright, because I swear Killer, I swear Killer, for some reason, Killer Kelly came out. I don't know why, but I might be wrong.
Yeah. Alright, and now we go to Saturday night's main event. And,
Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a feeling I'm taking this one.
Yes, it is your boy, unfortunately.
No, it's fine. I was expecting Seth to open the show. What was pleasantly surprised when it was Orton and Jelly Roll versus Drew McIntyre and Logan Paul. Has anybody noticed that Jelly Roll's lost a lot of weight?
Yes, he has.
Yes, he's getting in shape. I'll give him that.
Because he looks great.
Yeah.
And the clinic that, you know, Orton and Drew could do these matches in their sleep.
Yeah.
And of course, Logan Paul jumping into the mess. Actually, I'm trying to remember. That's right. Jelly Roll distracted Drew.
Yes.
And Drew turned around and ate an RKO to win.
Yep. And then after the match, Jelly Roll gets back in the ring, beats or nails Logan Paul. And then...
Actually, a little bit before that, Logan Paul actually hit the ring first.
Yes.
And floored Randy with the one lucky punch.
Mm-hmm.
And then started wailing on Orton. I think Drew got up at that point, and Jelly Roll finally had enough, got in the ring, and got into Logan Paul's face, and then took a claymore to the side of the head.
Yeah.
Yeah, he sold that clean. I'll give him that.
Yeah. And then after the match, while Jelly Roll was in the back with Randy, they were like, okay, enough. We should go ahead and team up at SummerSlam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Randy in a rare bit of facety-facety-facety-face was apologizing up and down to Jelly Roll. I shouldn't have had you out there. I know you're not a wrestler. I didn't want to see you get hurt. It's the last thing I expected. And Jelly Roll's look, I'm a grown-ass man.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
I just want my get back, and I don't care wherever. And Orton's like, that sounds good. How about SummerSlam?
Yep.
But I had a bit. I will admit, with all the shenanigans with Jelly Roll and Logan Paul, I had a bit of a JR moment.
Oh.
When I saw Jelly Roll get in the ring with Logan Paul. I found myself screaming at my TV, chokeslam him straight to hell! Chokeslam him to hell!
Yeah.
Well, did you see the sign? Well, Shane, did you see the sign in the crowd? Jelly Roll's Diner is now serving chokeslams.
I didn't see that, but that's freaking brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
there were some good signs out there. On the ramp, there was a guy that said, the voices in my head told me to come to Saturday Night's main event.
Yeah.
The one of the many Macho Man cosplayers, the one that normally wears the pink or purple rig, was in the lower bowl, and he had a thank you Goldberg sign. What's the other one that
okay, so this wasn't the Macho Man that MJF told to suck his dick. Suck my dick.
No, it's not that guy. But I know this guy is closer to this area because I ran into him at Payback.
Okay.
At a meet and greet.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, the the crowd was pretty good. WWE finally learned their lesson and let the governor speak once and leave it be.
Yeah.
So after that, what was the second match?
It would have been Solo and Jimmy, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Forbes magazine, you messed this up. It was Solo Sikoa versus Jimmy Uso. But they've put down here Solo defeated Jacob Fatu. No, sorry, sir, that was the wrong match.
Jacob Fatu was out there, just not for the match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, came out for the save and cleared house. But the former Hikuleo man, he's getting that monster heel rub there, because he did that big boot that cleared off Jacob's head, and he's got an aura about him. I can see why they wanted to hold off with him.
Right. Yes, Taller Tonga is going to be much more intimidating than any of the other either two Tongans that have been aboard with Solo and now his motherfucking Tongans. No, wait, that's not what the MFT means. Yeah, it does.
We MFT, know what MFT stands for.
The motherfucking Tongans. Yes.
Yeah, you can try and PG it down to my family tree.
No. It's the motherfucking Tongans. Come on, man.
Yeah.
But then we move on to potentially upsetting news of the night. Yes. Like not upsetting for the winner, but for the loser potentially.
Yeah.
Yeah, Seth Rollins and LA Knight were putting on a very serviceable match.
Mm-hmm.
And Seth got a little goofy and was starting to do a bunch of aerial and springboard stuff. And that confused me for a second. And then he kind of rolled over to the corner. And the match kind of stopped. And you never want to see that. But it looked like Seth said something to the referee. He might have even said something to LA Knight. 30 seconds later, the match was over.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think Seth's pre-warned Knight and said, I think I've tweaked my knee. We've got to wrap this up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I screwed up my knee. We need to get out of here.
Yep.
So they wrapped the match. I was worried because it was only 25 after 9.
Mm-hmm.
We still had a full 35, 40 minutes. And Goldberg's not known for his endurance, cardio. The man's also almost 60 years old.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I was looking forward to this match. But with Seth's injury, that probably blew the ending that they might have had in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And would explain the impromptu situation that we got after this match with Naomi and Jade beating the crap out of each other, which led to then Aldis coming out, because I was wondering why they were spreading this out for so long. But that totally makes sense now. So if the match with Seth and Knight got cut short, that's why this segment with Naomi and Jade dragged out to the point where Aldis had to come out and said, well, I was going to save this for SmackDown, but we're going to do it here then. You guys are having a no-holds-barred match, and your special guest referee is going to be this lady. And Bianca Belair comes out looking fine.
Yeah, I was going to say, she was not dressed to do anything.
Yeah.
And Montez Ford is somewhere in the back going, yeah, I'm the luckiest motherfucker on earth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as per usual, I wind up seeing my friend in the rain again. I'm like, This guy is everywhere, isn't he?
Oh, he was part of the jobber crew that was breaking up all of the fights?
Yes, yes he was. Ben Boone once again shows up.
Because, I mean, I'm used to the, you know, I know about the regulars that were out there. Because the current, you know, a lot of the producer squad that goes out there.
Mm-hmm.
You see Jamie Noble and Kenny Dykstra and Petey Williams.
I had to do a double take. I swear to God, I thought I saw Heath Slater out there. I was like, what the hell? When did Heath Slater become producer? What the hell's going on here?
No. It wasn't him. Though, if you want to talk about cameos, while they did point out Doug Dillinger for, you know, before they did the championship match, did you notice that Ernest Miller was in the posse that was walking Goldberg to the ring?
Yes,
he was the one in the bright pink.
I accidentally mistook him for Norman Smiley. Sorry, Ernest. I was like, Mr. Smiley's there with Goldberg. I'm like, no, that's actually Ernest Miller. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I saw him and I did a double take. I said, is that Ernest Miller? Holy crap!
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to pick out some of the other people that were there. I mean, obviously, Goldberg's son Gage was. Go ahead.
Sorry, you go.
Was that you? No. Goldberg's son Gage was, you know, walking beside his father, of course. There were a few other people in the entourage, and I was trying to make out who else I might know, and I just ended up scratching my head.
I didn't know if old mate at the back, I was trying, old mate behind Gage, I didn't know whether that was, I thought it looked, didn't know if that was like Tank Abbott, or maybe, what's his name? Tugboat.
Chuck Zito was also there. Former okay. MLB pitcher, I believe.
Okay. But yeah, I was like, I should know more people in this posse.
Oh, no, Chuck, I keep getting this guy wrong. Chuck Zito is, yeah. He's an actor and has bodyguard and stuntman and all that. Best known for being on Oz and in Sons of Anarchy stuff. Okay.
But yeah, they pulled out all the stops for Goldberg entrance, which I appreciated. They had spent parts of the evening running video packages about Goldberg's success in WCW, I'm going to put this in quotes, success in WWE, that it took him, you know, that Triple H was holding on to the World Heavyweight title for dear life before Goldberg took it out of his hands. And definitely skirting over little things like one of the Blood Money shows where he knocked himself out in the ring, almost killed the Undertaker.
Which he stated on multiple occasions he regrets because he knocked himself out before the match even happened.
Oh, is that? I thought it was with the ring post, no, but it was the door as well.
No. It was the door. He said the door. He said he headbutted the door. He then started feeling very lightheaded.
Yeah. And, what a surprise.
Yeah. And he knew he probably shouldn't have gone out there and done the match, but went out there and did the match. And then it was the ring post that just further did it in.
Yeah. So. Like I said, they showed little bits from WWE that I understand that the man was coming in during the height of Vince's pettiness, that he's a WCW guy. I don't care how much money he's going to make me. He's a WCW guy.
Yeah.
So yeah.
You can debate it all you want to. But it's a fact. Every WCW guy that came in that was a major star got buried. Got buried in that company. NWO came in, the main faction that was about to put WWE underground. Each member got buried. Scott Hall got beaten by Austin, then fired the next day. Nash got injured and then got put into meaningless feuds and then got fired. Hogan lost to The Rock at Mania. Got the WWE title for all of a couple of weeks before he lost it to Taker. And then Paige got put as a stalker. Booker T got put into a gangster black man situation with Austin and Triple H and everything. It's like, Jesus. But he regathered himself later years.
Yeah, it's like I said, it's not a secret that Vince McMahon was a petty bastard. Because anybody who had a standout deal with WCW, they should have been able to do better. Now, my question marks go around Scott Hall and Scott Steiner. Steiner was dealing, I believe, was dealing with drop foot when he had come over. You know, when he finally finished up with his WCW contract, I thought. Scott Hall was in deep shit from Plane Ride from Hell. Goodness.
Yeah, isn't that when it happened? Isn't that when the Plane Ride from Hell happened, the night after Mania?
Yeah, because it was the European tour that they usually do after Mania. I might have my timeline mixed up, but I know the Plane Ride from Hell got Scott Hall fired. And he was already in trouble before that, I think. Buff Bagwell politicked his way right out the door. They literally threw him out of the building and out of the company. Tori Wilson was treated as a diva. Granted, she probably was, but Tori's pretty. Billy Kidman.
Billy Kidman was treated okay. He did get a run with a cruiserweight title, and he got a couple of runs with the tag team titles. So Billy's talent saved him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Stacy had an all right run as eye candy. Like, she was managing the Dudley Boys at one point there and had some memorable bra and panty matches.
To give her credit, she worked as a valet briefly with Hurricane Rosie. And
Tess and Steiner.
Yep.
That's true. She was Tess's valet during the whole girlfriend testicles nonsense. Yeah.
Girlfriend / valet during the whole testicles debacle. Who wants to be my testicle?
Who wants
all to of be you, my fellow testicles? Ever. But Pink Man was laughing heartily because it was, to him, it was hysterical.
Mm-hmm.
You get to call everybody testicles. Ha 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 ha. Brilliant, pal. Yeah.
So I think Steve Borden was correct in his feelings with not signing with WWE because he was on the money. He knew the writing was on the wall as soon as Booker mm-hmm. T came out and The Rock looked at him and said, "Who are you?"
Yeah.
And he's like, why would I put a character that I've been building for years in the hands of this man who's just going to bury it in 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, you know, I still feel bad for Sting for, you know, during his brief stint in WWE, not, you know, just so Triple H could beat him in WrestleMania. I don't know if I believe, well, I don't believe that version of the story. I believe Vince the Petty Bastard made Triple H beat Sting.
Yeah.
But
I like the nostalgia of it, but I don't think Triple H needed it.
No. There was no reason for him to win that. And all the nostalgia that was going along with it was about 10 years too late. But yeah. In short, Vince is a petty bastard. TKO is going to be petty for certain reasons, but nowhere near as bad as Vince.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to remain correct on that matter, but we'll see.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I hate TKO for my own reasons. You ticket gouging bastards. But anyways.
Yeah.
Well, that too. No. I'm with you on that one. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. people are still buying the tickets.
Yeah.
I will not be one of them on the regular anymore. I can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know where half these people that go to these shows on a regular fucking occasion get their money from. Like, you guys clearly don't have debts or anything. Like, and you must have well paying jobs. Like, god damn.
I honestly don't know, but yeah, I did.
Once a year.
Well, and you know, I saw a couple other regular super fans there. Smiley guy was there. Trinidad Tobago guy was there. Like I said, the Macho Man cosplayer I know goes to a lot of shows. So, but yeah, I don't have that kind. I make very good money, but I look at the ticket prices and think about when I only had to sacrifice 1 month's rent to go to freaking WrestleMania. I should not have to sacrifice a month's rent to go to Raw. It's nonsense. Good enough bitching. I think there was something else we were supposed to do tonight. Right, Sad Boy?
I think. I'm not sure.
Okay.
Are we doing a pick-ems or are we not?
I'm confused. No, no. It is much too late. I'm not going to put that together, and I already made mention in our Facebook because of me not knowing exactly where I was going to be at this point. No pick-ems. Not tonight.
I apologize. I apologize.
Yeah. Pick-ems you did say back that. For SummerSlam.
Okay. No, that's perfectly fine, because we're probably going to need... Excuse me?
For the two-night extravaganza, because it's two nights this one, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is a two-nighter. And let's see, when is that it going to be again? August 2nd and 3rd, so that means we will have the podcast that week on August 1st. So, but that's still 3 weeks away.
Yes.
All right. Any other notes? I mean, I do have one unfortunate situation.
I think we're thinking the same thing.
Does it involve a former NXT talent?
No, it actually involved a former SmackDown general manager.
So we have two different stories.
What did you have?
I had a former NXT guy, a guy by the name of Knuckles Madsen, who was there in the early days, was shot and killed on June 10th, a month ago, at the age of 41. Real name, Kevin Nickel. Yeah. No idea who did it or anything else right now. But yeah, he was in the WWE for a year, 2012 to 2013. So yeah, I don't have many memories of him, but yeah.
Yeah. I understand earlier this week, news was brought out that Teddy Long lost his son.
Yes.
And I apologize that I did not dig further into it. I don't know if it was illness or...
Antoine Long, I believe, if I remember right.
Yeah.
Let me see if there's any information out there.
There's got to be something.
If I can find anything anyway. No, it is Antoine. Oh, it is Antoine. Okay, I was right. Let's see if there was any news. Nope. The information out there is scarce.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it was
probably
my understanding that...
Okay, Mike.
Which is perfectly fine, but I do want to extend condolences. Teddy's a cool guy. Teddy's had an amazing career in and out of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no parent should have to bury their kid.
No, no.
No.
So I think that's enough news. How about some shout outs?
Yes. Shane, do you have anything to promote?
Oh, no, I've seriously got to get myself out there with people so I can do more promotions other than myself.
You do still have your TikTok, don't you? At All CA.
Yes, I do. I do. Yes. If you want to hear more of my wrestling opinions or my wrestling rants, some more bad news for your liking, I've got TikTok at Aussie Acehole. So, yeah, tune in for that. But I really got to get out there and start promoting more different people and stuff.
On my end, it was The Thing on TV, had a pair of episodes this week. The first one, The Adventures of Super Pup, a 1958 pilot, are meant to be the next evolution of the original Adventures of Superman back in the 1950s. It was a pilot for a very good reason. It stinks. And then... on the second one, The Magnificent Marble Machine, a 1975-76 game show with a pinball table set up. It was really not good. Mainly because it kind of broke a lot. Coming up this week, likelihood is a prior All-Star or Major League Baseball All-Star game. Possibly 2000, because they're going to be in the same spot that they were in 25 years ago in Atlanta. So, yeah. They'll probably talk about, you know, the people there in 2000. So, you'll find all of that on itwasathingontv.com. Nikki, your art of shoutouts, please.
Well, let's start with our sometime panelist, Jamie Cloutier, who... apparently, work has been so bad. How bad was it? That the doctor gave her a prescription for 3 days off to recover.
Yikes.
So, I did not ask her to come to the show tonight because she's still not quite 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Mentally or physically. Yeah. She still pokes around at the Has-Been Hotel. Check her out on Twitter and Instagram at Alter Ego Zowie. look up some of her older work on Twitter where you can see her actually drawing wrestlers like Seth Rollins. And maybe Seth Rollins. What Possibly Seth Rollins. I'm not sure. I have to go look it up myself. But love her artwork. She has been recognized by a couple of different wrestlers, including Seth Rollins, for her wonderful work. I'll go to my crews and artists that I like to talk about. Obligatory shout out to Oniwambashu. She doesn't have any new art on her Twitter right now, but she does have several Tumblr's accounts that you can see some of her more current artwork. I know she still has a DeviantArt account, save for work, I promise. She has a card account. If you are looking for a commission, she's a little expensive, but her artwork is awesome. I will never say no to Oniwambashu artwork. Then again, I might be a little biased because she was the first Shield fan artist that I actually talked to. Just draws at Little Dose Baby, great for wholesome artwork if you're looking for something with a little bit of emotion, not related to blind violence. This is probably the guy for you. Let's see. Also has a card account and a current, as far as I can tell, commissions are open. We have Norberto Gaitan, one of the newer artists I follow. He loves doing poster style stuff for current events in wrestling. Looks like, did he do this one? Oh no, he sponsored somebody else. His most recent artwork is a piece of Omega versus Okada, probably from the pay-per-view. Posted earlier today. Some of the other artwork he's displaying is from someone whose handle on Twitter is EKM. They're based in. I thought it said where they were based. I'm pretty sure they're Korean, judging from some of the posts. They also are massive, massive, massive Finn Balor fans. One of the more recent posts is a short anime style bit of Rhea Ripley. It looks really, really awesome. Definitely look it up. Let's see, if you are a wrestling fan who likes a little anime in your fan art, Otanad on Instagram and Nakul Tahes on Twitter are probably your best bets. Tahes does draw a variety of styles, but if you can take a wrestling concept and, say, do it in the style of this anime, he'll be happy to do it for you. He's also fairly inexpensive compared to a lot of the other artists. He's pretty quick on his turnaround time. Otanad, I do not know if he does commissions, but Uncle Paul loves these comics and reposts them on the regular. So if you can't find Otanad on Instagram, just go to him and Hustle on Twitter. If you want a wrestler who's also an artist, Topla at D_Topla. You've probably seen her artwork if you are a AEW fan and have periodically seen these weird pictures of Taz. Yes. That's her. She's done a whole bunch of little caricatures for Matthew for Botchamania. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, Matthew, you got a new You Talk Too Much at Great American Bash today.
Yay!
I believe it was Santana who said it before it shoved Trick Williams, and well, then shit went down.
Yeah.
But Topla is also, you know, huge when it comes to Puresu. So if you like Japanese wrestling, she'll know exactly who you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Her artwork ranges from chibis and doodles all the way up to full body images, and also will design ring gear and t-shirts for you. She's actually relatively inexpensive. Do check her out. Her DMs are always open. Don't be creepy. Drop her a line. See what she can do for you. As with all artists, pay them well. Be clear on your ideas. Ask for work in progress to prove that they're not an AI artist. Post it everywhere, and then credit the artist. This is to weed out all the AI idiots. And those that are actually making money doing this, or doing it for a living, doing it as a labor of love, let's make sure they stay in business.
Yes.
I really don't have anything else, because I'm right here. So for Bad News Beeman, for Stat Boy Josh Henniger, my name is Nikki Heyman. You've been listening to the North American Wrestling Connection. Do tune in next week as we discuss the fallout of Evolution and all the prep that'll be starting for SummerSlam.